And now, another timely and powerful message from Pastor Emmanuel Williams and Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee.
God wants us to know and understand how gracious He is. Amen. It's one thing to talk about the graciousness of God. It's another thing to know and understand the graciousness of God. Amen. We are still from Numbers chapter 6. If you go to Numbers chapter 6 verse 25, let's read it together as a family. It's one verse. And the last phrase is what we are still working on. Until the Lord says to move, I'll move. Amen. I just saw while I was studying this week, there is a book in here I need to write on the graciousness of God. How many of you know that God's grace is nothing new? The gospel of grace is nothing new. Amen. It's all over the Old Testament. The grace of God, all over the Old Testament. If we have time later, I will share with you a story that has left, a story of the graciousness and kindness of God that has left Bible scholars dumbfounded. They're saying, why would God do that after this person behaved in such a way? It's in the Bible. It's all because of God's grace. Amen. And that grace is available to everyone listening today, and amen, who are here and listening via any platform today. God's grace is ready and available. Yes. Amen. And He's willing to be gracious. Yes, if you need grace in any area, He's willing to give grace in any area. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. So, Numbers chapter 6 verse 25. Let's read together as a family. 2, 3. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious to thee. Let's read it together one more time. After 3. 2, 3. The Lord make His face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Say, gracious unto me. Gracious unto me. Thank you, Lord. Say, thank you, Lord, for being gracious unto me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God wants us to know and understand that He's gracious. It's one thing to know about the graciousness of God. Since you hear me, it is one thing to know about the graciousness of God. It's another thing to know of the graciousness of God. You see, you can hear people talk about the graciousness of God. Hear people talk about how good God is. But can you and I say that we know of, not about, the graciousness of God? And that is what God wants me to talk about this morning. Do we know of the graciousness of God? Have we partaken of the graciousness of God? Have we experienced the graciousness of God? Amen. Now you get what I'm saying, saints? It's one thing to tell people who you are. It's another for people to relate and identify with you based on who you've told them you are. Let me say that again. Let me reiterate that slowly. It is one thing to tell people who you are. It's another for people to relate and identify with you based on who you've told them you are. Uh-huh. Because the truth be told, people can misunderstand people. People can misunderstand people by our actions. Are you with me? Like the Old Testament saints misunderstood God by His actions. Come on, somebody. Amen. And that's why God had to take on a body, because God said, look, these people have the wrong impression of who I am. Yes, I sent 10 plagues on the Egyptians. Uh-huh. Yes, I did. But don't you forget, they enslaved Israel for 430 years. Egypt was built on slave labor. So don't you forget that. Don't look at my 10 plagues and talk about me. Look at what the Egyptians did. You know, sometimes we have a short memory, and we forget quickly, So there's a text I want to use today. God gave me. I want to talk a little bit about it. Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 to 24. You know, a long time ago, about 15 years ago, a pastor said to me, "Son, memorize this verse." Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. I'm going to give the text in context and then look at the application. Amen. Is that all right? You know, the three cornerstones of Bible preparation is observation, interpretation, and application. I observed the text last night. We're going to read it and look at its interpretation. Then we'll see how it applies to us. Is that okay? Praise the Lord. So Jeremiah chapter 9 verse 23 reads, "Thus saith the Lord." Who's speaking? Jeremiah is saying, "I got a word from the Holy Ghost." And he said, this is what the Holy Ghost is saying. "Let not the wise human being glory in their wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, neither let not the rich man glory in his riches." Verse 24 reads, "But let him that glorieth in this," here it comes, "that he understandeth and knoweth me." What must human beings glory in? That they understand and they know God. He continues, on what basis? "That I am the Lord which exercise." Can somebody say demonstrates? Practices. I am the Lord who exercise what? Loving kindness. Can you say loving kindness? Say loving kindness. What else do I exercise and demonstrate? Loving kindness. What's the next one? That word judgment is not brimstone and fire. That's justice. I demonstrate loving kindness, unfailing love, tender mercies. What do I exercise? I demonstrate what? What is the first thing God says he wish we know and understand? He said he wish we understand and know that he demonstrates what? That's mercy we've been talking about. That's graciousness. That's what we've been talking about in Numbers chapter 6 verse 25. He said, I need you to, in other words, the word glory here means boast. Amen. Don't boast in your wealth that you've accumulated. Don't boast in your knowledge you've accumulated. Don't boast in your might. It doesn't matter. Your might means, it could mean how far reaching is your influence, or how strong you think you've been because you've been to the gym. God said, don't boast in that. That doesn't work. What you need to boast in is that you understand and you know me. Don't boast in what you've accomplished. Boast in who you know. Oh, glory be to Jesus. Are you getting? Because the Bible says our lives are like grass. Today we are, tomorrow we're not. Cut down for fuel in the bakery. Are you with me? So the Bible says, don't you boast in your accomplishment. Think about it. I'm going to put the text in context. But I just want to say that. And since, hear me. Let me say that again. The graciousness of God is nothing new. It's throughout the Old Testament. I have never gone to the New Testament. When the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved. Are you saved through faith? It's not of your own. It's the gift of God. Why should you boast about it? I haven't even gone to the New Testament. Paul said in Peter said in 1 Peter 3:18, grow in grace. Grow in the graciousness of God. We are told that the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus. I haven't even gone to the New Testament. I'm still in the Old Testament talking about the graciousness of God. God wants you and I to know, saints, that he's gracious. Because until we understand that, we won't be able to partake of the graciousness of God. It is okay to say, Lord, be gracious to me, greedy. But listen, hear me. The character of God, these particular characteristics of God need to get down into your soul. Can I be specific when I say soul? Can I share something with you about preaching and teaching? Preaching should be done to alter the will of a man and woman. And when the will is altered, you exercise the will to obey God. It goes down into the soul. It goes down to the will. And the Holy Ghost under the anointing alters the will to the point where the human being says, yes, Lord. It's not for sure. Are you getting what I'm saying, saints? Oh, bless God. So, but God is telling Moses to tell the people, Jeremiah, to tell the people, be careful in what you're boasting. No, tell somebody it's okay to boast. Well, somebody look here. The Bible didn't say don't boast. The Bible just tells you in what to boast. The Bible didn't tell you. The Bible didn't say don't boast. The Bible say your boasting has to be in the Lord. In what? Not in your own strength. Well, not in your own accomplishment. Oh, bless God. Hallelujah. Oh, can you say thank God for the word? Hallelujah. Amen. So he said, do not let... can you go back to our text right here? But let the individual who glorieth or boast in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord Jesus. Can you say Lord Jesus? I had to put that in there. Amen. And I, the Lord Jesus, I exercise. What do I exercise? My God, I give you glory. The very first thing God says he exercises is loving kindness. Can you say graciousness? Grace. That's what he does. Over and over and over again, we see in the Bible, the very first characteristic God is telling us about him is that he's gracious. He's gracious. But for some reason, because of the acts of God, because of what God did in the Old Testament, the Bible says, you remember the story of Korah? Nathan and Abiram, they came up against Moses. They said, Moses, you are uplifting yourself above God's people. You are not the only one who can stand on behalf of the people. We can too. Moses, we are preachers called of God too. Who do you think you are? We can offer incense unto the Lord too. And you are not the only one who can do that. And the Bible says, Korah and his, you know, they always have a group. Let me say it again. These rebellious preachers, some of us, always have a group. Hello, somebody. And the Bible says, God told Moses, get away from Korah. Get away from, tell the children of Israel, get away from Korah. And the Bible said, they ran from Korah. The earth opened and swallowed Korah and everybody and closed back up. That's how God deals with rebellion. And they said that and they say, oh my God, we're afraid of God. That is the impression they had of God, but that's not who God is. Because rebellion is like practicing rebellion is like a male witch, a wizard. So God said, that's a sin that's coming into the camp. I need to deal with it. And back then, nobody could lay hands and cast away demons. So God said, let me get rid of that stuff. It's like amputating the hands. The earth opened and swallowed 150 people and close back up. And God said, next, let's move on. I've dealt with the problem. That doesn't mean God is a killer. No. God did that to save the nation of Israel, because that type of thinking would infect the entire community. So God deals with it. That's why the Bible says, if your left hands offend you, if your eye offend you, well, especially if the medical practitioner said, we can't do anything for you. Anyhow, I hope nobody's taking offense, amen? We're just having church. You know, now these people are so sensitive, so we have to be very careful, amen? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Saints, you hear me? I need you. God stopped me and asked me to take some time and go over this text and let you know that we are to boast, but our boasting must be in that we understand and then we know God. that he's the Lord which exercises, practices, and demonstrates loving kindness, justice, and righteousness in the earth. And God says, for in these things I what? Delight. You know what delight means? It pleasurizes God. Look, hear me. There is only two images that come with the word delight, and that is to do the cabbage patch and do a backflip. If you want God to do the cabbage patch, if you want God to do a backflip, then guess what? You got to boast. Oh, your boasting should be in that I understand God. I know God. And I, not only that, I know he exercises what? Loving kindness and justice. And he does people right. And God said, woo. God began to do the cabbage patch. That's what delight is. So, anybody interested in letting God do a backflip? Yeah. Well, you got to understand and know that he's the Lord first. He's Lord. And that what? He exercises what? Love. Yes. And what else he does? Justice and righteousness. Righteousness is to do people right. Nothing is mentioned of I am Jehovah Jireh. I am El Elyon. No. Things that we can relate to. Can you relate to graciousness and loving kindness? Can you relate to justice? The Bible says when the New Jerusalem comes, righteousness and justice will kiss. It will flow in the New Jerusalem. How many of you know that there's a lot of injustice in this world today? Yeah, a lot of what? Injustice. And Jesus is going to come and take over again. He's coming to rule and take over again. How many of you are happy about that? Hallelujah. I look at the news and I see those who think they are something, and I just keep smiling. So you have no idea. Oh, one day when the church disappears, when the rapture takes place and we are gone and planes start crashing and buses start, are you getting me? And Christians disappear, no longer will they be criticizing us. We'll be gone in glory to be with Jesus, never return to this earth again the way it is. So I look at them, amen, I just smile. Ooh, you have no idea. And what it does, it creates compassion in your heart for these people. You pray for them, amen, so that the eyes, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Ask God to open their eyes. How many of you pity these people who think they're in charge and they're just not in charge? Let me not stray from my notes. I think God gave me some important notes to share with you. Amen. Paul, the graciousness of God in this verse, boasting in the graciousness of God, Paul referenced this twice. Can you go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 31. I want to go quickly. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 31 and 2 Corinthians 10:17. You got the first one? Let me show you where Paul referenced this boasting. Today, as of today, our boasting should be in that we understand. No, it is understand first. And what? No. I'm going to look at these two words in a while. Amen. 1 Corinthians 1:31 reads, Paul is speaking. Paul said, according as it is written, he that glorifieth, let him glory in whom? And Paul is referencing Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23. That Paul is speaking to the saints in Corinth, and he said, there's a lot of boasting going on in Corinth. I have this gift. I have that gift. Amen. I can function in all the gifts. So, can you? You remember the church in Corinth, the very carnal church? But what I find strange is the church was carnal, but the gifts of God. Wow. You know why the Bible says, where sin is, grace doth much more abound. Let me say that again. The Bible says, where sin is, grace doth much more abound. Are we saying you have to commit sin for grace to occur? Romans chapter 6 verse 1 says, God forbid. But that's the way it was. Amen. In Corinth. A lot of gifts in the church. Let's see where else Paul referenced this text. 2 Corinthians 10:17. You got it? Quickly. So we can move to the good stuff. 2 Corinthians 10:17. Paul is saying here to the saints in Corinth, "But he that glorifieth, let him glory in whom?" Let me say that. Let me say that again. Nowhere in the Bible are we told not to glory or boast. Our glorying should be in whom?
Lord.
In the Lord, not in our accomplishment, but in who we know. Anybody know the Lord Jesus this morning?
Yes.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, before I proceed any further, let me put this text into context. Let me put Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24 into context. Amen. Then we look at the application. This verse is here. These verses are here. Can you go back to the text, please? Jeremiah 9:23. The reason why these verses are here is because the prophet Jeremiah, God, through prophet Jeremiah, had pronounced impending correction on his people. The Chaldeans were going to come in. And God told Jeremiah, "Tell my people correction is on the way." And so they thought they could escape the impending correction, the disciplinary action, by trusting their own wisdom and strength. They said, "Yeah, the Chaldeans are coming, but we got power. We can fight them. We have influence with God. So what are we afraid of?" So they begin to boast in their might. They begin to boast in their riches. "We are rich. We are loaded. We can hire other kings to fight for us." And the word of the Lord came and said, "Let not him that boast in the accomplishment." Jeremiah said, God said, do not boast in what you have accomplished. Do not boast in your association with people. Do not boast in your knowledge. You won't win the Chaldeans that way, because I'm the one sending the Chaldeans. The only way you can escape that punishment is you must understand and know me, that I am loving. You need. This is what God is saying. Humble yourself and fall on your knees and ask me for my loving kindness. Don't decide, well, you know, we've got might, we've got wealth, we've got wisdom. No, God said that won't work against me. What will work is you going on your knees and asking me to exercise loving kindness. Exercise justice. Are you getting me, saints? You know, human beings are notorious for that. We like to boast in what we have. There is a verse that says, "He that thinketh he standeth, take heed." There's a fall. Except your boasting is in the Lord, brothers and sisters, your boasting means nothing. That's why the Bible says, Philippians 4:19, "I can do all things." Through whom?
Christ.
Yeah. It's always through Christ. I can do all things. Through what? Through Christ who strengthens me. The oxygen that you breathe, the free oxygen, is not yours. Hello, somebody. With all the power and the might and the position and accolades. Hello, somebody. And the millions are saved. The oxygen is not yours. Hello, somebody. If God just say, "Well, it's yours," let me just stop it for 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes. Oh, you and all you. Let me see what you'll do without 5 minutes of oxygen. Can you tell somebody, boast in the graciousness of God? Yeah, that's what you boast in. Boast in what? The graciousness of God. That's what we boast in the graciousness of God. That's why God sent me to tell you, he wants you to understand and know how gracious he is. And so you can relate to God on that level. Here is why. Because Moses knew the ways of God. The Israelites knew the acts of God. You see, let me. When you understand and know God, you know who he is in essence. You will not define him by what he does. Moses knew the ways of God. Moses knew that God was good and kind and tender. The Israelites see God as a killer. You know, there's one killer, the devil, John 10:10. He came to steal, to kill and to destroy. And I understand how they could arrive at that. I'm looking forward. Conclusion. Because of what they saw God did. And so they saw God did that. And a bunch of them, we discussed it this morning, were operating on the periphery of the camp. Always at the back. Always lagging behind. And that's how the devil picked them up. Let me share with you. There is a call. Elder David didn't know that. He mentioned it this morning. Listen to me. There is a call for devoted Christians. You hear me? Can you say devoted Christians? Christian statesmen and stateswomen. There is a call for that. In these last days. Are you hearing me? Yeah. We need to draw the line. And say, I believe in the graciousness of God. I'm going to show up when it's good. I'm going to show up when it's bad. I'm going to show up when it's ugly. But I'm showing up anyhow. I'm going to praise him in the good times. Praise him in the bad times. Praise him in the ugly times. Because that is life. That's life. That's what? Life. Makes sense. We got to be all in. That's why God is asking us to understand and know him. Hear me. If you don't understand and know God, you'll not be all in. You'll become right picking for the devil. Anytime you'll be discouraged, anything discourages you, come on, you're a Christian, act like it. The way some of us live our Christian life, it sickens me. Any demon can think they can do whatever they want with us. You're Christian. I'm a Christian. I was telling the ministers, I had to tell my sister, it doesn't matter what you think about me. You see me growing up as your brother. You saw my shortcomings. You saw my failures. But that doesn't give you the right to disrespect me. I tell her, I am a minister of the gospel of Christ. And I know that.
Come on now.
Then nobody, let me tell them I'm a Christian, chosen by God, loved by Jesus, and I know that. And then act like it. Put boundaries down. No, 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 I'm not sacrificing that for the house of God. No, 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 I cannot do that. Because I have committed unto him. Well, I mean, anyhow. You see, in these days, we need to understand and know God. Because when you understand and you know God, you're free. Free from yourself, free from humans, free from... Are you getting me? Man, you made up your mind. That's why the Bible says, I'll give you the text in a while. You've got to lose your life to find it. The reason why many of us are still finding is because we haven't lost our life. We have not bought into the system of Christianity. Buy into the system of Christianity. And tell your people, your parents, your brothers, your sisters, I have bought into the system. Well, or not.
My God, now. Come on, now.
Or not. Oh, no, you got to tell them. I know who I am. I'm a minister. And we all are in ministry. I'm a minister of reconciliation. Mm-hmm. God has me here to reconcile, unsaved to his kingdom. And I'm going to do it. Doesn't matter what you think of me. Doesn't matter what you tell me.
Come on now.
Doesn't matter how much you bring up my failures. I know who I am. I'm not going to stand in front of you. I'm going to stand before God. And I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Tell them I know you. And I know who's using you. If you don't make up your mind in the last days, the next COVID is going to take all of us out. Let me. If you and I don't make up our mind today, if you don't do that today, I'm sorry for the shouting sins. Amen. Forgive me. But listen to me. Listen to me. I am fully persuaded. Fully persuaded. I have nowhere going, nothing doing. I will continue to give myself over to the process, the system of Christianity. Yielding myself to the process. Yielding myself to what? The process. The process. And one day, he will raise me up as fine gold. One day, after I've been processed like Joseph. Hallelujah. One day, after I've been processed like Joseph. Don't worry, Pastor Webb, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. You hang in there. This too shall pass. It only came to pass. Amen. God is after those of us. And since there is a lack of understanding God and a lack of knowledge of God. Can I take some time to tell you what understanding means? Let me just take some time. Let me tell you what understanding means. It breaks my heart the way I see Christians live their lives. Good people called of God, full of the Holy Ghost, settling for what? Settling for what? Trying to please whom? Are you trying to do what? Please whom? Who are you trying to do what? Please people, the Bible says, a prophet is not without honor. Except where? In his own house. Among his own kinfolk. So that's why you got to tell him who you are. And move on and praise God. Amen? And come back smiling. Well, let me move on here. Some of you are looking at me like I'm talking Spanish. Hallelujah. It is so important, saints, in these last days to understand. Amen. To understand where we are, what's happening. Because there is a lot going on that we do not see. Amen. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7 tells us, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, but with all your getting, get what? Yes. Yes. Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7. With all your wisdom, all your getting of wisdom, ensure that you have understanding. Know how the nuts and bolts of the thing works. Let me shout again. Know how the nuts and bolts of Christianity works. You need to get wisdom. Now when the Bible says there is a suggestive subject verb that's left out. You see, between getting and understanding, there is a suggested subject verb that's left out. What's the verb? Subject. What's the subject verb? You get understanding. With all thy getting, you. Not your pastor getting understanding for you. Or your father or your mother. Or your sister, your brother. No, you get understanding. Who's to get understanding for you? You have to get understanding. Me, I have to get understanding. Understanding. So he said, with all your getting, what do you get? Understanding. Let me tell you what understanding means. Understanding means to perceive the meaning of God, to grasp the idea of God. It means to be thoroughly familiar with God. Apprehend clearly the character, nature, or subtleties of God. It means to grasp the significance, implications, and importance of God. That's what it means. Let me say it again. It means to perceive the meaning of God. I know I've spent time with him. It means to grasp the idea of God. It means to be thoroughly familiar with God. It means to apprehend clearly the character, nature, or subtleties of God. It means to grasp the significance of God, the implications of God, the importance of God. That's why God said, you must understand. You must what? Understand. With all you're getting, get understanding of who I am. Get it. Understanding is the fruit of 1 Timothy chapter 13 and 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. Let me say it again. Understanding is the fruit of 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13. Let us see what 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 13 says. Because if God is telling us to do something, we need to know how to do it. Gone are the days where we just hear do this, do that, and we are not given a map. Hello, somebody. Yes. What did Paul tell Timothy? Till I come, give attendance to what?
Hold on.
To what? I've been touting for the last 5 years. One proverb, five psalms. One proverb, five psalms. One proverb, five psalms. Some of you still haven't studied. Yeah. I didn't say all, but some of you, you see, you take it for granted because things are good. It's all right, you know. I don't have to eat. Jesus said, man shall, Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, Luke chapter 4, verse 4, he said, man, human beings, shall not live by bread alone. But by what? Every, can you hold up your Bible? Every word that proceeds out of the mouth, that's it, your Bible. So which means that there is a spiritual man that has to be fed. Tell your neighbor, eat. That's all God wants you to do, eat. But we are so busy not eating. Anyhow, we are so busy. Paul said, and notice what he said. He said, give attendance to read him. Timothy did not even have a Bible. He had to go down to the synagogue and listen to the Bible read. Today we have Bibles with dust. I had a Bible and I had a cup on that Bible so long. When I lift it up, there was a ring. Paul told Timothy, I am getting to the fruit of, What did I say? I said the fruit of, Anyhow. Yes, understanding is the fruit of 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 13. So we just see part of the fruit. Amen? Right. Till I come, give attendance to what? Reading. Let's see what's the other. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15. He said, until I come, give attendance to reading. So we know that reading, before we experience the fruit of understanding, we first have to read. Yeah. And then what's the other thing we have to do? 2 Timothy 2 15. What? Okay. What did it say? Study to show yourself. Let me tell you, when you have read and immerse yourself in reading, and when you have studied, when you pull out the studying tools, like a good Bible dictionary, a good concordance, somebody, a good Bible with 15 different translations, and you pull out a pen and paper and you start to read and say, Lord, talk to me now. Reading coupled with studying, what's going to happen? Understanding is going to burst on your subconscious mind. I know some of you believe in going down the line for people to lay hands on you to get understanding. Let me say that. I said that too fast. I know some of you believe the way you get understanding is to go down the line and somebody lay hands on you. It doesn't happen like that. It has never happened like that. Hello, somebody. Let me show you how Paul said it comes. Can you go to 1 Corinthians, I think, Lord have mercy. 1 Corinthians 15:10, I think. Lord help me, I think this is it. 15:10. 1 Corinthians 15:10. What it says? Paul gave us an idea how it comes. He said, but the grace of God, he said, but by the grace of God, I am. And he said, his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But here it comes. But I what? He said, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Who's they all he's talking about? I labored more than all the disciples of Jesus Christ. More than the 12 apostles who Jesus said, follow me. For Jesus told 12 guys to follow him. Paul said, I labored more than them put together.
That is why he was able to write 13 books. And you and I come read 30 minutes, 45 minutes, and think we got it. And then we say, why can't I understand? Why I know now? Why I can't understand? So God said, I need you to what? To understand and know me. What God said? Because that is how. And since the reason why this is important is because it doesn't matter how much you talk about the graciousness of God. If your mind has the wrong concept of who God is, you won't, and I won't, experience the graciousness of God. We'll holler it all day. God, be gracious to me. Early God, give me your mercy. And then go right along and say, man, things are not working out. No, we won't do that. You know, because the mind has not been renewed. The mind has not been renewed. When you take the time to the 1 Timothy 4:13, as you sow the seed, that's what you do, right? That's what John chapter 4 talks about. The sower sows the seed. And the seed sometimes fall on pathway soil. The seed falls on stony soil, on soils with a lot of root, but some fall on good soil. So the Bible says the word of God is like a hammer in the hands of the Holy Ghost. So as you're reading God's word, as you're putting God's word in your heart, the Holy Ghost comes up with a hammer. And as you're reading, that hard-heartedness, that unforgiving heart, that mouth you have, God is going to... You know how we call it? Effortless change. All you have to do is just sit down and let God walk on you. But many of us are so busy. The Holy Ghost comes. I tell you, the days I was studying and reading, I just used to fall apart and cry. Reading the Bible for 2 hours one Saturday afternoon would just fall out. The Holy Ghost came and started to break it up. The old thinking. Pulling down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself, and we are ranging me. I remember those days, Pastor Webb. I wasn't, as they said, a nice person. I wasn't. But after God was done with me, oh God, I give you praise. I remember these Saturdays. I used to just leave and go somewhere, read the Bible for 3-4 hours. Well. Because the person I saw in the mirror, I didn't want to be that person anymore. I heard Michael Jackson said, the problem is the man in the mirror.
That's right.
Michael Jackson was right. I'm looking at the man in the mirror. Oh, I'm asking him to. Oh, some of you are afraid to say it because you're in church. Hypocrite. I'm saying it anywhere, anytime. I'm saved. You hear me? I told you I'm delivered. I told you I know who I'm going to stand before. I haven't got to put on nothing for you. You see what you get. So you all sing at the house. Yeah. And then when in church you cannot move. Huh? Since I hope you feel my heart. I want us to just be devoted. Just be devoted to God. Many of us are not devoted to God as we ought to. And it's because we have no understanding of who God is. Hear me, when you understand who God is, nothing else matters. Thank God for friends, but friends don't matter anymore. Are you getting me?
Yeah.
Now we thank God for friends, we thank God for associations, we thank God for family, but when you understand God, you know He's your source.
Yeah.
And everybody else, well, you know God works through people, so you thank God for people, amen? But you know who's your source. You know who you believe. And so what happens is human beings and the accolades and the achievements come down in your mind. And God goes up. Well, maybe not. So Paul is telling us how he understand and how he was able to go. Paul is telling us how he was able to go in the wilderness with 5 books and came out with 13. A man went with the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And when he came out with the 13 epistles, revelation knowledge, immersing himself in reading and studying God's word. Listen to me, since anybody can change over 5 years. I heard my distant mentor said that, Les Brown. Les Brown said, anybody can change in 5 years. I was miserable. I was so dissatisfied. You see, my dad died early, and when a man dies and he doesn't pass on what he's supposed to a child, that child is jacked up. That's who I was. I'm just trying to tell you, Pastor Webb. Dad died, I was 15, 16. And I was looking for a father somewhere. I'm just telling you, you know, some of you see me today, praise God, but you have no idea what my struggles were. Clinging to every man to be a father. And a pastor saw that, he said to me, he took the Bible, thrust it in my bosom and said to me, read it, it'll deliver you. Because he himself had no father. And this man has a love for God. Lord have mercy. He thanked God for his wife and all his kids and thanked God for his family. But let me tell you, he tell my family, don't get in my way when it comes to praise God. Some of you have to understand. He said, where I've been and where I am now is because of God. And I'm faithful to God first. Well, anybody agrees that we must understand God? You know what understanding involves? Understanding comes from immersing yourself in Bible reading and studying God's word. Amen? Studying. After that, understanding will burst on your subconscious mind like a fruit. I guarantee you, that's what will happen to you. Dr. Pia Wood, this is what happened to me. After 6 or 7 years, immersing myself every Saturday for 4 hours reading the Bible. One day, I opened the Bible and it just began to speak to me. I closed it. I said, I know I read that yesterday. That wasn't there. What is happening? How comes everything I've read from the New Testament converged? Because you know why? Hebrews chapter 4 verse 12 says, for the word of God is quick. It's alive and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the divine and son of soul and spirit. You know what I'm talking about. Oh, you give it a chance and you nurture it and let it grow. Don't worry about understanding as yet. Just read it loud. Don't worry. Some of you want to put the cat before the horse. You want to understand what you read. Listen to me. God will give you understanding. God, that's God's part. Your part is to humble and sit and read. And trust God. How many minutes do I have? Lord, I give you praise. Hallelujah. Man, wow. Next week, just it's 45 minutes already. Lord have mercy, somebody said a long time ago. God wants you to understand and know him. You know, knowledge is talking about just personal, knowing him personally. Not knowing about him, but knowing of him. The Hebrew word is yada. Amen. It means to know him personally. It means to be someone's friend. Just like he said, Abraham is my friend. This is where you know that God knows you. If God is about to do something, God said, why am I going to do that and not tell my friend? God said, Abraham is my friend. I'm going to do something down there. Why wouldn't I tell him? That is where you and I want to get. You want God to say, I'm about to do this in Tel Asi, but such and such is my friend. He knows me. We are cool. That's my bro. I got to tell him. That's what know is. Next week, I'm going to share with you. Sometimes the graciousness of God takes a little time to manifest. I'm going to share with you somebody who experienced that and what they said and what they shouldn't say. And then I'm going to show you a story, an account where I told you Bible scholars, commentators were baffled at what God did for a man who was a killer in the Old Testament. Why would God do that for somebody like that? Somebody who is notoriously wicked. Why would God do that for somebody who killed so many? I'm going to share with you. And hopefully next week you'll understand who God is. Do not, hear me, define God after what he did. People are still that way. People are still talking about brimstone and fire. Or God will get you. God is getting nobody. Hear me. Old Testament, Psalm 7:11. God is angry with the wicked every day. That's Old Testament. New Testament, John 3:17. God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world will be saved through him. New Testament, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation. That's why Hebrews chapter, you know the word. We have a better covenant. People are still. Did I tell you we haven't crossed over our should? We haven't crossed over from the Old Testament mentality to the New Testament mentality. This is what God said to me. He said, son, tell IUGM and those who are looking, this is how I want to be in their lives. Have you ever seen a parent correct a child and the child still run to the parent and hug them? Why would a child do that? Because they know that the parent loves them and the parent is not abusing them. And not that they know they did wrong. So even if the correction is applied, they still run and hug the parent. God said, that's what I want my kids to do. So run and hug me. Will you start doing that today? Say, Father, I thank you for being gracious. Yeah, I may have this issue, that problem, but I know you don't look at me based on what I've done. You look at me through Jesus Christ. And because you look at me through Christ, I am holy. Hallelujah. Amen. I am righteous. I am just. I am. What did Jesus told Mary? When the angel said, how did the angel greet Mary? Highly favored in the beloved. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 5, 6. Are you getting me, saints? Highly favored in the... Anybody highly favored? That's how God see you, brothers and sisters. That is how God see you through Jesus Christ. He sees you highly favored, but your mind is telling you, no, you just did this. Look at your life. Your life is a mess. And God is saying, no, run to me. Run to me. Last verse. I'm sorry. I meant to share this a long time ago. Romans chapter 5 verse 19. Verse changed my life. Radically changed my life. You got it? Romans 5:19. I promise. Since I have so much to share with you, but time is against us. Romans 5:19. You got it? Changed my life. But my major verse though. Free me. Free me up. Anybody interested in freedom? For by one man's disobedience, many were made what? How did I become a sinner? It's not because of what I did. It's because of what whom? Adam did. By one, Adam jacked me up. The system was rigged against me. Even before I was born. Now the truth is I added to what Adam did. Let me say that again. I added to what Adam did. But that, what I added didn't make me a sinner. Adam killed me. Freed me up. I say, oh my God. It's not me. Adam did that to me. No, I got to fight and claw my way out. For by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall many be made what? Did anybody obey Christ? You are righteous. Tell your mind I'm righteous. Don't you come after me with my mistakes. I know who I am. God is righteous. Father, we give you praise.
Please take time to meditate on the Word and let it sink into your heart and soul and mind today, knowing that the Christian who meditates on the Word will be like a tree planted by the water, bringing forth fruit in its season and prospering in all that he does. But what if you aren't a Christian today? What if you don't know if you're bound for heaven as a forgiven child of God? If that's you, then let's take care of it right now if you're ready. Do you believe that Jesus died for your sins? Are you ready to be forgiven of your sins and washed clean and made new? Are you ready to begin your new life in Christ? Then turn to God right now and say, Lord, I love you. I need you. I repent of my sins. Lord, please forgive me and wash me clean. I receive your forgiveness right now as I put my faith in Jesus as my Savior. God, please lead me and teach me and show me how to live from now on. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And if you're looking for a good church family, you'll be welcomed with open arms at Imitators of God Ministries, Colossal Vivacious Church in Tallahassee, located at 4750 Capitol Circle Southeast near Tram Road. Sunday school begins for all ages at 10 a.m. and the morning service begins at 11. And the Wednesday evening service begins at 7. This is a life-giving, multicultural, multi-generational church where people of all races, backgrounds, and walks of life come together to worship, to be inspired in their love for God, to develop relationships, and to be empowered to live out God's purpose for their lives. Find more information on their website, imitatorsofgodministries.com, or call the church, 850-408-8496.